I'd like you to turn in your Bibles this morning, if you have brought a Bible with you or some means by which to see the Scriptures, to the book of Genesis, chapter 32. And while you're looking that up, if you have an offering today, we appreciate your giving, contributions, whatever way you choose to give. There's an offering receptacle to my left, one in the foyer as well. Or if you do it online or send it in by mail, thank you so much. It helps us take care of our obligations and take care of our staff. So we appreciate you and your faithfulness to the Lord by contributing your tithe and offerings to the church. Genesis 32, we're going to start at verse 24. This is the story of Jacob. And Jacob's encounter with God, his struggle, actually, his struggle with God. And as he wrestles with what we know, according to the book of Hosea, which we'll turn to in a moment, an angel of the Lord. The scripture here says that he wrestled with a man, and really what that means is he had man-like qualities, this angelic being. Hosea will call him an angel, and he wrestled there, and it was there that he got his name changed. It's his struggle. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about strength in the struggle. Every one of us have, at one time or another, I'm sure, had to go through some struggles. If you are the rare exception, just fasten your seatbelt because yours is coming. Amen? Come on. We all struggle to some degree, and that's not a bad thing, but sometimes it's a difficult thing. And when we think about struggles, we all have them. I have mine. Cheryl has hers. You have yours. And we think of physical struggles. We think of people that are dealing with physical infirmities and the struggle that brings about, and how to handle that, how to deal with it, working with doctors, the medical profession, which I'm all for, but then also believing the Lord for healing, and what happens when that doesn't come, when there's nothing they can do, and we have to just struggle with those things. It's difficult. We need strength for that. Financial struggles. I'm sure that all of us from time to time have had to deal with that, and maybe you're dealing with that right now. The struggle of making ends meet, getting at the end of the month, and you have more month than you have means. How many has been there before? Come on. And about four of you. This must be a wealthy congregation, but I haven't seen it in the offerings, so... Come on, how many say amen? You've been there before, right? Sure you have. And how do you handle that? And when you get ready to write your tithe check out or punch it in online, Lord, this is going to be a stretch. It's going to be hard, but we trust you and we appreciate those that do that. But sometimes it is a struggle. And then I think of emotional struggles, people that deal with emotional things that some people look at and say, well, just... You know, the old expression, cowboy up and handle it. But sometimes that's, you can't. The emotions are raw, the emotions are difficult, and it's more than that. And maybe you need counseling, maybe you need encouragement, whatever, but there are emotional struggles. And sometimes we can't even put our finger on why we struggle that way. And then we have relational struggles. We have struggles in our relationships. Maybe you have struggles in your marriage from time to time, and you try to work through that, but sometimes it's a struggle. Maybe it's with a neighbor or a friend or a fellow church member, and it's a relational issue. And rather than throw up your hands and say, I'm done with people, no, I want to do this. I want to resolve this, but it's a struggle, and it's hard. How do you have the strength to work through that? And then, of course, there's those spiritual struggles that I think everyone who tries to follow Christ, who tries to live for the Lord like you should, has those spiritual times. It's the struggle that Paul the Apostle had. as he records in Romans chapter 6, 7, and then the victory in chapter 8. But he said, I find a law within me that when I want to do what I should do, I don't do, I end up doing what I don't want to do. And boy, how many can associate with that? It's a struggle sometimes spiritually. Or those times that you feel like you're going through the proverbial desert, or you feel dry and empty and you can't feel God, and your prayers get just about to the ceiling and drop right back down on you, and you think, where is God in all this? And so the spiritual struggles are real, and how do you have the strength to work through those? And then I thought about addictions, definitely addictions, and people that struggle with addictions, that want to be free, that don't want to do drugs anymore, or alcohol, or whatever it might be. Or maybe it's just a simple habit, a habit that's not good for you. But it's something that you know you need to break. And yet it's a struggle. It's difficult. As most of you know, Pastor, I've been dealing with long COVID for about a year and a half, almost 2 years. And they don't know a lot about that. But I know a lot about it because I'm going through it, as are a few of you. And it's different with every person. And so Cheryl and I have tried a myriad of things, working with my doctor, because again, they don't know a lot about it. there's no wonder drug. Now, I don't have COVID at all, but still have the symptoms sometimes. And I was struggling with that a little bit this morning, but I've learned how to garner the strength. Well, one of the things that I've had to deal with, and in a nutshell, and I think this might relate to someone here or someone watching. One of the things about long COVID is I've described it to my doctor like this. It's like an ugly, ugly arm that reaches back in your past and pulls up the symptoms of that. You don't have that, but it pulls up the symptoms of that. And you go through some of that experience. And I told that to my doctor, and he said, Ed, that's exactly what we're finding in our research. It's exactly what we're finding. And a report just came out today, or not today, but Friday, from the Kaiser Foundation. And that's exactly what they said. They listed about 5 or 10 different things they've discovered about long COVID, and I had 5 of them. I'm batting 50%. And one of them, their statements, though, said is that it goes out and it grabs something from the past and it pulls up those symptoms. And I told Cheryl, I laughed, and I said, I was telling them that 2 years ago. And they finally came out with the idea. Well, one of the things for me, and everyone knows here how much I love chocolate, right? One of the things that I've had to deal with is that ugly hand reached back and grabbed what I used to have. I don't have it anymore, but it was hypoglycemia and some things that were almost diabetic. So one of the things that Cheryl and I wanted to try was to see if I didn't have any sweets, if that would help. Now, I don't have diabetes. My blood work is great, but it's that ugly arm that pulls up that. And so I decided a week ago that I would cut out the sweets. And some of you who are real pro-healthy and all that said, well, it's about time. Others of you are going, oh, Pastor, I'm so sorry. I won't buy you any chocolate anymore. No, don't go that far. But the struggle was I wanted something. Come on, we're family here. Come on. Come on. I said, okay, no more sweets. Let's see if that helps me during the little episodes. And it doesn't happen all the time. So I said, no more sweets. But my mouth kept saying, but you need something. My brain kept saying, you need something. Come on, right? How many know that's the struggle? So I said, okay, Lord, I need some strength here. So I went to the refrigerator, and I grabbed the biggest carrot I could find. And I grabbed that carrot, And Cheryl's sitting there watching a program, and I walk into the front room with this long carrot like this, and she starts laughing and laughing. And I sit down and took a crunch and said, "What's the matter?" She just kept laughing and laughing. It's great to have a supportive wife. Come on. Right? And I'm just eating this long carrot, and I said, "This is helping me with the struggle." And so I took a bag of carrots with me to the camp. I took carrots everywhere. I've eaten so many carrots today, I should have 20/20 vision in both eyes. Because you've never seen a rabbit wear glasses. That's what someone told me once. I've eaten so many carrots that I noticed my lips were turning orange. My point is that it's a struggle, and I'm working through the struggle. And this is a humorous example, but some of the habits that we have are not humorous. They're habits that we need to break, but it's a struggle. Where do you find the strength to make it through the struggle? With the struggle, though, I'm convinced there comes a strength. With every struggle, no matter what it is, financially, physically, emotionally, relationally, spiritually, habits, with every struggle, there is a strength. The key is finding that strength. What is the source of that strength? So, struggling with God, verse 24 of Genesis 32. Then Jacob was left alone. He had sent his wife and children to another place to be safe. He's going to have an encounter with Esau. He's sent gifts ahead of time, but he's all by himself. And a man, or Hosea says an angel, wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. They wrestled all night long. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. They wrestled all night long. I don't know all the particulars of this. I don't know if they did one of those WWF kind of thing, whatever, or if they're just hand to hand. But they are struggling together, and dawn is coming, and so this angelic messenger from God touches his thigh, where the socket of the bones come together. He touched it and shrank the sinew of it, and Jacob from that time on will walk with a limp. That will end the struggle physically. And so the angel touched him, his joint was out of whack. Verse 26, and he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So Jacob is holding on. His hip is out of joint. He's holding on. And he's saying, "No, you're not going to leave till you bless me." It's pretty audacious. If you're wrestling with an angel, you're struggling, and you dare say, "I'm not going to let you go till you bless me." Matthew Henry, a 17th century pastor and commentator, in his commentary says of the situation, "It was not in his own strength that he wrestled, nor by his own strength he prevailed, but in and by strength derived from heaven." Matthew Henry believes that Jacob was able to wrestle with this angel all night long because of a strength that came from heaven. Because God wanted Jacob to prevail. He wanted him to win. Not the wrestling match, but what Jacob was wrestling with inside of him. Stop there for a moment and backpedal. Jacob, whose name meant deceiver or supplanter. Remember Jacob? He's the guy that works all the angles. He's the guy that smiles at you, makes you laugh while he's taking your wallet out of your pocket. Come on. That's the old Jacob. God knows that. But God also knows that Jacob has the potential of becoming an incredibly powerful man of God. And God has a plan for him. But God has to meet him on Jacob's terms. So he does with Jacob what he does with very few others. God sends an angelic being to wrestle with him, physically wrestle with him, and show Jacob, Jacob, you're not as cunning and conniving as you think. You're not going to win, and yet you will win. Matthew Henry goes on to say that the thigh touch, when the angel touched his thigh, it wounded and healed at the same time. It wounded and healed at the same time. And when I read that, I thought, that's interesting. How many times have we been wounded by something or someone, and yet the wound ends up being the source of healing in that relationship or in that struggle? Someone says something to you and it hurts and it wounds. And maybe you go through the gamut of emotions, like I'm angry and then I'm sad and then I want to get revenge and then I want to forgive. And you start going through this gamut of emotions and all of a sudden you realize, no, what I need to do is go to that person and find out why they said that so we can work this out, because no argument is worth letting it go and fester. And so you go to the person, you talk, you work it out, and you discover that hurting dogs bite. The person said that because they're hurting really deep. And it didn't give them a right to hurt you, but they did anyway. But you were able to help them because they wounded you. And both of you can win. Come on. I've done that before. I've been through that. So Jacob's wound on his thigh wounds him, but it also heals him. It shows him that he has to be dependent on God and he can't be deceiving people anymore. And so what the angel does is says, okay, this is my commentary. He says, I'm bringing you a blessing from God. What is your name? He knew his name. God knew what his name meant. So my name is Jacob. You're right. You're a deceiver. You're a supplanter. You trick people. But you're no longer going to be called Jacob. I'm changing your name to Israel. Because now you're going to become a prince with God. You're going to become the beginning of a wonderful nation. And you're going to see what God can do through you. Not through your conniving, but through what God wants to channel through you. The world will be blessed because of this name change. And so the wound, the touch, though it wounded, it also healed. So he touched him. Many people have likened this story to what prayer is like. Prayer sometimes is a struggle. And when you look at this wrestling match, the angel nor Jacob had any weapons. The only weapons they had were their hands and their feet, their bodies. But it has been said, and we're going to turn to Hosea in a moment, the weapons that Jacob used that night were prayers and tears. And sometimes when we pray about struggles, about relationships, about finances, about our spiritual life, and we cry out to God and we struggle wondering why are we going through this, the only weapons we have are our tears and our prayers. Turn with me to the book of Hosea for a moment, if you would. I'll give you a moment to find it. It's not a common place that we turn. Hosea chapter 12. verses 3 through 6. This is what Hosea says of the story of Jacob's struggle. I think it's interesting the way he describes it. By revelation of the Holy Spirit, Hosea gives us more information. Verse 3 of Hosea 12 says this. Jacob took his brother by the heel in the womb. That's the story of their birth. And in his strength, he struggled with God. Speaking about the wrestling match. Notice that. In his strength, he wrestled with God. He struggled with God. So Hosea is saying, while Jacob wrestled with the angel, he had a strength to do that. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it, buddy. While he wrestled with the angel, there was a strength that came to give him strength to wrestle all night. I don't know about you, but when I can't sleep and I'm tossing back and forth and back and forth, how many understand that? And your pillow doesn't work, and so you hit your pillow and you fluff it and you turn on one side and that starts to heat up. You turn on the other side and it's cool for a moment, and then you get up and you go pee and then you come back. I'm sorry, sweetheart. I wasn't supposed to say that. I'm sorry. Anyway. And then you get back in bed, and then you can't sleep, and then you get up, and you go walk the living room, and you come back, you check the doors, you come back, and you can't sleep. And so just about an hour or half an hour before you have to get up, you finally fall asleep. And then you wake up and you go, oh, hello, anybody been there? That's a struggle, isn't it? And you say, I don't even have the strength to get up and go to work, but I got to go to work. That happens sometimes on Sunday morning. Cheryl tells me, you got to go to work. You work there. But how did Jacob wrestle all night? There was a strength that came from heaven. There was a strength that came with the struggle. And it is in that strength, verse 3 of Hosea says, in his strength he struggled with God, yet he struggled with the angel and prevailed. So there's where we know that it was an angel that he struggled with. He wept and sought favor from him. He wept and sought favor from him. So through this wrestling match, Jacob is crying. He's weeping. Why is he weeping? Because he hurts? Because of the pain? Maybe. Because he's struggling, not knowing where his family is? Maybe. He's uncertain that Esau will be friendly and maybe Esau will attack him? Maybe. Or is he weeping because in his own self he knows he has not been the kind of man God wants? And he realizes that God is dealing with him. And he has a chance now to make things right. I don't know why he was weeping, but he was weeping. And he sought favor from him, meaning that he prayed. So as Jacob is wrestling with the angel, he's crying tears. And he's also praying to God. And when I read that, I thought, boy, doesn't that describe our struggles sometimes in prayer. We're praying, oh God, help me with this habit. Oh God, help me with this addiction. Oh God, help me with this relationship. Help me with this financial thing I'm going through. Help me with raising my children. Help me, Lord, with putting something into my grandchildren. And we cry and we wrestle and we find God speaking to us and saying, with the struggle, I'll give you the strength. With the struggle, I'll give you the strength. And that's what Jacob found. That's what helped him wrestle and pray all night long. He wrestled with God. Verse 4 says, he found him in Bethel, and there he spoke to us. That is the Lord God of hosts. The Lord is his memorable name. So you, by the help of your God, return. Observe mercy and justice and wait on our God continually. So Hosea likens this to Israel and says, in all your struggles, know this, that there's a strength that comes. Everybody knows this. Little kindergartners know this illustration, but I'm going to give it because I think it's so appropriate. Where does that little beautiful butterfly come from? Previous to that beautiful thing flying around, sitting on your flowers, it's wrapped in this cocoon. It's dark and it's tight. But when it's time, the butterfly begins to move, begins to wiggle, begins to struggle. The same cocoon that protected it, the same cocoon that was security for it, now becomes the prison. And God put within that wonderful creature the knowledge, the understanding that if he were going to fulfill her destiny, it had to struggle. So it begins to move and wiggle and stretch and fight against the thing that has protected it. But now, if it stays in that cocoon, it'll die. And if some unknowledgeable person comes and sees the struggle and says, oh, I want to help. Let's cut the cocoon open so it can fly. It'll never fly. It's got to struggle. It's got to stretch. It's got to fight. And the strength that God put in that tiny creature, because I believe it's a creation of God, God put within that creature not only the knowledge to know it has to struggle, but gives that larvae the strength to struggle. And there's a strength that comes, and it fights and fights and breaks, and eventually it gets out of that cocoon and it flaps those wings and it flies away. And we go, the miracle! The miracle was there because the struggle was there, but the strength came for the struggle. And I think of you and I and the struggles we go through. And I mean, there's nobody here. There's nobody here. I mean, all of you are here, but there's nobody here that wants to be able to say, oh God, don't let any of my family have to struggle. And yet the minute I say that, I think, duh. Struggling sometimes is what will help them be better people. And better followers. Now, Lord, I don't want you to overload them, but so my prayer changes to, Lord, I know they're struggling. Please help them, give them strength in their struggle. Cheryl and I did that when our kids were young. We've done that for our grandchildren, and we'll pray that for our great-grandchildren. Lord, I know they can't escape struggle, but when they're in the struggle, give them strength. Give them strength to be able to make it through the struggle. That's what we pray for you. That's what we pray for you. And Cheryl and I pray for you folks. And we know different things. We don't know everything. But when we know you're struggling, maybe a Sunday morning one of you shares with Cheryl, you're struggling with a relationship or something. We don't know a name. But when we pray for you, we pray, Lord, help them in that struggle to find the strength to make it through like that little butterfly so that they can fly in freedom. Come on, amen? Because there is a strength that comes with the struggle. Prayers and tears were his weapons, Matthew Henry said. It was a long struggle. And sometimes prayer is a long struggle. Sometimes praying for people and situations is a long struggle. But God will give us the strength and give you the strength to pray that. I want to take you to one other place that I find really interesting about struggles. And it's in the 23rd chapter of Job. And right away you go, well, I mean, that's the classic guy who struggled, right? I mean, Job lost it all, and his wife told him to curse God and die. His friends showed up just to tell him how bad a guy he was. Lost all his wealth. Talk about struggle. Man, that guy struggled. And yet, even in the New Testament, when it refers back to Job, it says there was a reason for that struggle. But here's what Job said in the 23rd chapter of Job. And I think it's interesting. I think I've got time. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7, so just bear with me. Then Job answered and said, and he's right in the middle of his struggle. And the biggest struggle Job has is why? Why is this happening to me? That's his biggest struggle. And when you think about it, that's probably a big portion of our struggle. It's why. It's not so much the illness as why do I have the illness. It's not so much the bill we have to pay as to why hasn't the money come in. It's not so much the relationship battle we're having, but why did this happen in the first place? See, it's the why that we struggle with. And sometimes, a lot of times, the why never gets an answer. But you know, we just might not have all the whys while we're down here. And we say, well, when we get to heaven, I'm going to ask God, why? And I've said that before as a pastor. I've said, God, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask you why. But you know, I've got this funny feeling when I get to heaven, it won't matter. Amen? It won't matter. But down here, I wrestle with the why. And so that's Job's biggest struggle. Then Job answered and said, even today my complaint is bitter. My hand is listless because of my groaning. He's wore out. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat, speaking of God. I would present my case before him, and fill my mouth with arguments. See what he's saying? If I just knew where God was, I'd go to him and I would lay out my arguments. Why God is so unfair in this whole thing, right? I would know the words which he would answer me, verse 5, and understand what he would say to me. And then look what he says here, verse 6. Would he contend with me in his great power? Would he fight with me? No. But he would take note of me. And one of the ancient versions, I understand, of this line, he would take note of me, says he would put strength in me. And if that's true, what he's saying is, I'd come before God and I would say, why? And I would lay out my arguments. And then would God slap me around? No. But God would give me strength. There the upright would reason with him, and I would be delivered from my judge. And then, I won't take time to read, but if you read the rest of this verse, Job comes to the conclusion that God's not his enemy, but God's there to help him. If we were to stand before God with our struggles and say, okay, explain to me why. Would he slap us down? Job said, no. What would God do? He would put strength in me to help me get through it. I.e., the butterfly. God knows the struggle is important. It makes us better. But with it comes the strength. What are you struggling with today? What struggle are you going through physically, emotionally, financially, relationally, whatever? If we had a choice, if you had a choice, you'd probably prefer not to be struggling with that. But just maybe there's a purpose, there's a reason. But as weak as you may feel, God will give you a strength that will only come during the struggle. You see, when everything's going good, you don't need struggle strength, right? And so you don't get it. But when you struggle and you need the strength, that's when it comes. That's when Jacob needed it, and that's when it came. Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 12:10, "When I am weak, then am I strong." So, Jacob, hold on to that angel and demand you be blessed before he leaves. But be careful, because that blessing is going to require you to be different. You can't be a deceiver anymore. You're a prince with God. You're Israel. You're not Jacob anymore. And after our struggles, we're different. And if we let God use those struggles to shape us and to form us, we're different in a good way, right? Not a bad way. Not a bad way. I don't want any struggle. I don't want any struggle to make me bitter. I want the struggle to make me better. And so I'm counting on God's strength to come at that moment when I need it the most. Amen. Lord, thank you for your word today. And yes, even though it is a little difficult to say, thank you for the struggle. Because I know it will make me a better man. It'll make me a better Christian. It'll make me a better husband, father, grandfather, and great-grandfather. It'll help me be a better pastor. It'll help me be a better member of my community. Thank you for the struggle. But more than that, thank you for the strength that you give me through the struggle. A strength that came unbeknownst to me as I'm wrestling with God all about this. The strength came and it helped me. And thank you for blessing me. Because as hard as it is, there will be a blessing in the struggle. Just like it was with Jacob, just like it was with Job, just like it was with Paul. So Lord, whoever it is today that this message was intended for, I don't know. Maybe many, maybe few, maybe one. That doesn't matter. What matters is that we as God's people thank you for the strength you give us through the struggles that we have. Help us to do what might be hard to do. Give us the strength to do that. And let us do it in wisdom, not with vengeance, not with getting back or getting even, but help us do it with a sense of healing. And help the same wound or situation that wounds us, help it also to heal us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed for a moment. Maybe you would respond and lift a hand and say, "Pastor, you don't know the situation, but this was for me today." Just lift a hand to the Lord. Just lift a hand to the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I'm raising my hand. Thank you. Father, you see the hands that have been lifted. So I pray specifically for them. Lord, my prayer was for everyone, but for those who lifted a hand and the struggle they're going through this morning, I pray strength would come. Strength for the day. That's what you promise. Strength for the day. Give them strength for the moment. And Lord, in that strength, help them, Lord, to keep working that cocoon, knowing that they won't be in there all forever. That cocoon will break, and they will see the sunlight of your glory, and they will spread those wings, and they will fly high. The struggle will help them get there. The strength will help them struggle. So be with those who lifted a hand today. And for those who may be watching right now at home, touch them as well. And we'll give you thanks for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's thank the Lord for His word today, shall we? Amen. 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 All right, let's stand together. God bless you. Don't have our worship team this morning to dismiss with a song, but we'll leave with a song in our heart. Amen? The joy of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks for coming today. God bless you. See you at the Bible studies, and if not, we'll see you next Sunday. God bless. Have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday.